All right, we will now call to order the special magistrate proceedings for the City of Daytona Beach for March 8, 2016. At the outset, I have reviewed, approved, and executed the minutes of February 9, 2016. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
And do we have any announcements before we...
Yes, sir, Mr. Bukowski. We do have one case that's in compliance that's not reflected on the agenda. Number 4, SMG 021610 for 1000 North Atlantic Avenue was in compliance March 4th, 2016.
Good. First case on our agenda this morning is Precious Property Management, LLC. Is there anyone here for the response? Yes, sir. Can you please state your name and be sworn?
Angelo Bartolome.
Raise your hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right. We're here for the imposition of a fine. And when we left off at the last meeting, Mr. Butera appeared to be a little bit surprised that his most recent site plan had been rejected. And I think that we had continued this matter to determine the status of that site plan. And the respondent was also going to talk to us about the status of an SBA loan, although that's probably not our primary responsibility here. So let's start with the city. Where are we as far as the city's request for the imposition of a fine?
Mr. Verkelger, the city's request remains the same. The report from the inspector is that there's nothing new from the prior meeting, no new information from planning nor any information regarding the loan status, and so the city continues to request $200 per day fine to a maximum of $25,000.
Okay. Have we not heard from the respondent since the last meeting?
The inspector reports no, he has not heard from the respondent. I would tender Mr. Klieg, who is the inspector, for any other factual questions, but he reports he has not heard from the respondent.
Is it Mr. Bartolome?
Yes. That is not true, sir. Mr. Butera was here. He actually met with the building official here. And I was hoping that he was here today, and I didn't hear from him. He was working with the engineer, and I think Tom Klieg, were you able to get converse with Mr. Butera when just recently?
No.
Because I know he came over here and he filed for some paperwork or something. I don't know exactly. I was hoping that he would be here today, but he wasn't. And I tried texting him, and he didn't respond. But I know he was working on our plan. And I also have here from the bank about the status of that SBA loan.
All right. What's the status of the SBA loan?
I can give it to you. Might be Mr. Butera calling. Yep, that's Mr. Butera calling me. Hi, Ben. Yes, the meeting is today, and I'm here in front of the magistrate. Oh, I thought you knew, so you didn't know. Can you just tell me what can I tell the... Can I put you on a speakerphone, Ben? And you can tell them what transpired during the process?
Well, I tell you what. Why don't you just talk to him and then relay it to us? Because I don't know how
okay.
We're going
to swear. Ben, what do you want me to tell the magistrate? I'm here in front of him. He wants to speak to you, sir.
Tony, how do I do this?
Right. There's no proper way to do it, Mr. Verkelger. We would normally arrange this in advance. He would be sworn by a
no.
I appreciate it, but unfortunately, this is patently unfair as far as the city
okay.
is concerned.
He cannot speak to you, but what should I tell him? What have you done? What have you done during the process?
So why don't you try to garner as much hearsay as you can?
Civil engineering. About 75% complete, so we are redesigning the project. I'm going to contact the city this week and meet with them to show them the new engineering. And we've gone with an underground penetration system for drainage. We're not going to put a retention pond in.
So you have met with the engineer and did all this?
Yeah, we have the engineering to show them an underground system rather than digging the retention pond. And we have a new site plan to show them as well. As a matter of fact, I'm just printing it out this morning. I just got it.
When do you think you'll be able to show them the new site plan?
I can meet with them tomorrow morning, if possible.
Tomorrow morning. Okay. All right. Thanks, Ben.
Okay. Gosh, I wish you would let me know.
I thought you knew, so.
Right,
what's the next step
in the process as far as compliance with this respondent is
concerned? Mr. Kelger, the last step in the process of compliance, which is what was due last month, was the restoration of the property to its original form, which would be the reseeded, to remove the signage and all of those types of things. I don't believe there's anything more than that. I think we still have the sign, which has been our principal discussion for some time, and the resurfacing of the land.
All right. Well, the respondent has been making efforts to try to redevelop this property. So on the redevelopment side, what is the next step forward for him that would, if not constitute compliance, at least indicate activity toward compliance?
I would have to look to the inspector and see if he knows that answer.
Getting a permit?
If he can revert to that.
Officer Clegg, my code enforcement credentials are on file. This case at 2735 North Atlantic. They need to get what your engineer was talking about is the retention plant, retention pond. They want to, instead of doing that, is do an underground retention, which costs a little bit more, I think we were talking about. But to this date, there's nothing has been filed. There has not been a new site plan submitted. They need to get a new permit, so therefore, it's like starting from scratch again. Nothing's happened, so. They've been talking back and forth, but nothing's official with the city yet. They didn't apply for nothing. So they're still in their phase of the underground retention that the engineer was talking about. They do not know exactly what they're going to do yet. So therefore, it's in limbo for permit status-wise.
And with all due respect, Mr. Vakalja, this has been going on since August of 2015.
Been going on since August of 2015, and now we're going to fine the man, which means it's probably going to jeopardize that SBA loan.
That's correct.
I would say, pretty confidently. And when it jeopardizes that SBA loan, in conjunction with the fine on top of that, that means we'll probably be looking at that eyesore indefinitely, except you're telling me it's going to be reseeded. That'll be interesting.
As Tom Clegg is saying, we have some engineering drawing that's going to be submitted. This is not entirely our fault.
Okay. Stop talking.
Okay.
I've got all the history I need. Okay. Now, one more time. On the redevelopment side, what would I have to see from them that would indicate, if not compliance, a serious effort toward compliance, compliance not being planting grass out there on A1A, compliance being a new development?
Correct. A new permit needs to be issued because it's expired, okay. So therefore they need to get the drawings in, which they haven't done, because he does not know what he wants yet. The engineer, they're still discussing the financial aspects of underground retention compared to on-top retention. So therefore, the city is still waiting for their decision to be filed. It's nothing to do with SBA or anything else. It's their plans that they have not really submitted yet, because they do not know what they want to do yet. So.
Can I correct that?
We do know what we're going to do. We're going to put the retention pond underneath. We're not going to do retention pond. We're going to do underground. I don't know what you call it, but that's what we're going to do, and that's what the engineer is working towards and the architect is working towards. So therefore, we know what we need to do.
Okay. And how how long would it re? Let's assume everything goes according to Hoyle from this point on, and then Mr. Butera actually submits something like I overheard him say he was. How long would it take to get a permit?
Less than a week. I mean, they've been talking, but nothing's been submitted in paper, and so that's what the holdup is. And
Well, here's what I'm doing.
Mr. Butera will be here tomorrow. That's just like what he said, to submit something to the city.
Okay.
I mean, we're working on this diligently, and we're working on it into compliance. I don't know why they're giving us a hard time on all these things. It's not that we're not doing anything. I mean, as you know, my bank is being processed. You have a letter from the SBA people or the Regions Bank that is on process. And Mr. Butera is working on the plans and hopefully submitting something tomorrow.
And that's how you managed to survive before me from August.
That is correct, and I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. So, Inspector seems to think if you got your plans finalized and you're telling me you're pretty close to being finalized on the plans, then you could obtain a permit within a week's time.
Mm-hmm.
How does that sound to you? Feasible?
If it's all up to Mr. Butera if he's done with his drawing and be able to submit it.
Well, I can't buggy with Mr. Butera.
I can ask him, yes. I can certainly ask him.
Okay, well, all right. You know, as sympathetic as I am to the cause, and as much as I hate wasting money that could be going to improving property
mm-hmm.
and thereby enhancing the whole town, the fact remains is that the city is entitled to the relief they're looking for sometimes, too. So, that having been said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fine you the sum of $100 per day commencing May 4, 2016. Well, let me back up and rephrase this. If you are not in compliance by May 4, 2016, that's 60 days from now.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And from what I understand, compliance is going to mean having a permit to actually build whatever it is you're planning on building.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And if you're not in compliance by May 4, 2016, then a fine in the amount of $100 per day will go into effect and will continue each day thereafter until the property's in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches $25,000. All right? So basically what I'm doing is I'm giving you another 60 days to get your stuff together as far as this property is concerned, and get a permit issued. Okay?
Okay.
Now, from what I'm hearing, you're indicating to me you're oh so close to having your plans finalized. Okay? And I'm putting this off for 60 days so I don't interfere with your SBA loan application.
Okay.
Which your letter indicates you should have a decision on within a couple weeks.
That's correct.
All right, so all I can do is tell you that you're the man in charge and you're just going to have to take care of the SBA and you're going to have to see to it that Mr. Butera follows through.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, at this point, come, what did I say, May 4th, the fine will automatically go into effect. Now, if between now and May 4th you run into all sorts of complications with these plans, make sure you keep a detailed history of it. Because if you're not able to get a permit for reasons beyond your control, then I'll take that into consideration.
Okay.
You got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Is this a copy for the city? Okay. Thank you.
Case number 2, Black Tide USA, LLC. Respondent. Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Vakelja, and I didn't clarify this at the beginning. I think you acknowledged me, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the city of Daytona Beach. In this case, you may be reminded this is the case where we have the shed that's behind the residential structure that was built as an accessory structure that has to be removed. The inspector is Cliff Reckinson. He's informed me that the shed remains. It's still there. and he is requesting a $200 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000. I will turn to Mr. Reckonzone for any other factual information regarding this.
This is a shed without walls. So it's kind of like an urban pole barn.
Good morning, Mr. Vakilja. My name is Cliff Reckonzone. I'm the inspector. My credentials are on file. The shed had walls all except the rear wall when the first inspection was done. The permit was pulled the last minute, right before last hearing. We gave them an extra 30 days to actually take down the shed because they just finally pulled the permit. It's been in this condition for the last 2 weeks. They took down the other walls, but that's all they've done.
All right, I see rubbish and garbage throughout the yard. Has that been taken care of?
As close as I can get, that's what I've seen. Yes.
So we have a wallless shed standing on the property.
Correct, that needs to be removed.
It needs to be removed.
Yes, sir.
Okay, is this a single-family residence?
This is a two-family
duplex?
Duplex, yes.
Okay, so this is what, a rental property then?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and we want to find the respondent to some $200 per day for this shed?
It was after they had over the 2 months to remove the shed. They didn't pull the permit until to the Friday before the last case of 8/24.
Okay. All right. Well, not seeing a respondent here, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent. The sum of $100 per day commencing May 9. I'm sorry, March 9. I'm sorry, hang on one second. Commencing March 3, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches, what, $15,000?
Yes, sir.
$15,000 where the property is brought into compliance. Case number 3, Leo Abbott Dolphin, is in compliance. Case number 4 is in compliance. Case number 5 is in compliance. Case number 6, Willis McDuffie.
Willis McDuffie.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. McDuffie, where did we leave off after our last meeting?
Just trying to get a survey before I can get a permit for a driveway, and I just didn't have enough money to do that. I got all of the survey companies that I contacted. They all want $450 up to do that. Then the driveway, I got estimates on the driveway, which is running around $3,100. I got an estimate here for that. So since I couldn't do all of that, I took the money that I had, and I got 5 yards of gravel to put on the yard. I don't know if he didn't even got new pictures of it. So no cars on the yard now. And they all just parked on the gravel driveway.
So we didn't have a driveway to begin with at all?
No, sir.
We had a couple strips of concrete.
That's it.
Pad. And now we've created a gravel driveway?
Yeah, on the right side so it can park the cars.
But what I'm looking at right there?
That's it, yes, sir.
Okay, and does this comply with anything as far as the city of Daytona Beach is concerned?
Well, I don't have a driveway except this. This is all I got.
Mr. Kelcher, the inspector doesn't believe it does. As you're aware, our land development code has been updated. There's been some things that have been modified, so he would like to follow up on that. He doesn't have the absolute answer today, because it's something that he was not aware of until the last moment that he had, that this is the way that the respondent elected to try and remedy the problem. So the inspector's asking, and the inspector, John Stinson, is asking that we continue to the next cutoff and give him an opportunity to, I believe he's, if we understand right, that the respondent's intent and desire is still to put a proper driveway. If that's not sufficient, we believe it's not sufficient, but the inspector would like to confirm that with the permitting division.
Does your gravel driveway now end at your property line?
Well, it starts at the street and just goes to the side of the house, so I can get the three cars here. And then the problem I got now is I got four people in the house, and my son comes in at 4 a.m. That means my wife goes to work at 8. Somebody's got to move that car, let her out, so he can go. And then when I got to go, it's a mess right now, but I'm just doing the best I can with it.
Well, I can see just from looking at that picture, that's why they want a survey, because I have a feeling you might have, you'd be curious to see where your property line is, and heaven forbid there are any setbacks in there.
Yeah, it's this gravel is 4 feet inside the property line now, because that tree, the one you see on the right there, it's just inside the property line on the other side of the yard.
As long as you've taken that into consideration.
All right,
so what is the city asking?
The city is asking for us to continue to the next meeting.
We'll continue Mr. McDuffie's case to our April 12, 2016 meeting, assuming there's any need for it, to allow the city to research this development. Is that what you're asking for?
Yes, sir. We had anticipated coming in to report that they were still parking, because that was the last that the inspector knew, that they were still parking in the same location. Okay. And again, we recognize this effort to try and remedy it independent of surveys and the process. But the inspector would like to make sure before he tells them absolutely that can't work. Doesn't look like it can work. It couldn't work in the past, but he wants to just make sure before he gives him the next direction.
I said, I bought a house not knowing that I didn't have anywhere to park. So being in there a few years now, and
you had a place to park, those little concrete streets.
Right.
So you filled it up with people with cars.
Yeah, well, I got a family.
Problem. I understand.
So I'm just doing the best I can with
it. You do property, unfortunately.
Yeah, my grandkids, you know, I'm trying to keep them in school, and they got to get there, so.
I understand. All right, in any event, the city is being gracious enough to postpone any determination today until they get a chance to look at your solution to see if it works.
I appreciate that.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 7, Larry Brown and Abner Brown. Yes, sir.
Abner Brown.
Raise your hand, please. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Ms. Vakelja, we realize that the respondent comes in from out of area, but without any contact information from him. We pulled the records ourselves from the court and saw that they had a stipulation that would vacate the property on 3-5, and that is what the respondent is now reporting to us, that the property was just vacated on 3-5, and he's asking for a little more time. We agree. We don't have any problem with that. So next cutoff, we're asking for them to be in compliance by next cutoff.
Let's see, Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
The next cutoff is April 6th of 2016.
Yes.
So you're
going to
be able to come
into
compliance by then?
It's a few things that I believe I got already sliced off the list. It's just the roof is the only thing I'm looking at right now.
You see on my notes, I've got a big blue square box around the roof. So when you think you're going to be done by April 6th, that's what causes me to ask, is that realistic?
I got somebody coming in to look at the roof today. I just came in town, so they come and look at the roof today. I looked at it. It's a little hole. It seemed like it should be easy to patch up, but I want him to determine if it's bigger than what I could just see with my own eyes. But if it's just a patch-up, yeah, I should be able to have it done. Bye.
All right. Well, if it turns out to be something different, let your inspector know
right away. I got his phone.
So in case you end up back here because of some administrative whatever, we'll know what happened.
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll order the respondent. I'll amend our current amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2016,
yes,
or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 8, Michael J. Ford. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Vakalja, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector John Stinson reports that the respondent has been making good progress. He only has the roof remaining, and we're asking to amend to the next cutoff to have that in compliance, so amend to the April cutoff.
All right. Based on the report of the city's attorney, then I will amend our amended order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 9, 700 Madison Avenue Land Trust. Yes, sir. Who would please state your name and be sworn?
Marcus McDonald.
McDonald?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
And what is your affiliation with the respondent?
I'm the owner of 700 Madison Avenue.
Okay. All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Inspector for this case is John Stinson. As you said, this is for imposition of a fine. Mr. Stinson reports that he's heard nothing and saw nothing new from the respondent and hasn't seen anything new at the property. I have an indication that the respondent may have started doing something the last week of February, but very little. The inspector's requesting a $200 fine to a maximum of $15,000.
What kind of property are we dealing with here?
I'll tender any factual questions to Mr. Stinson.
Is this a single-family home?
Good morning. No, sir. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is a multi-unit property. I believe there's 6 units in there. I have cases on 1, 2, and 5 at this time. It's multi-unit. I've been out there multiple times. As far as my inspection and the tenant's responses, the progress has been minimal, if any. I have seen the property owner on the property a couple of times. Like I said, since this case started, it's been going on long enough for a lot more progress to have been made. It has not.
Okay, has anything been accomplished on this list of violations?
I have not had the opportunity to see the interior, but from the exterior, no.
Okay. And what was the amount of the fine the city was seeking? The
city's asking for $200 a day to be capped at 15. While I'm standing here, case number 10 is the exact same thing, exact same property.
Okay, let's hear from the property owner. Mr. McDonald, what's going on?
Yes, what happened was I had a property management over a company, Real Property Management. So I'm a flight attendant, so I work out of Orlando. So I had them managing the property for me, but as of February, I want to say 20th, I took the property back because I realized nothing was happening. So I took the property back. I got my business license back reinstated. I got a contractor to come pull the permits. And we are done with the project. We just got to wait for the inspection. So the units 1, 2, and 5, the insides are all done as far as the code enforcement things.
Is unit number 5 before me today?
No,
it isn't.
All right, so you're telling me you fixed the broken windows, the missing torn screens, the damaged interior surfaces, the dilapidated roof, replaced the missing smoke detectors, interior doors, fixed the hot water, the electrical wiring, and removed any electrical system hazards?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, well, then I'll tell you what.
And the only reason it wasn't done because I had it with a property management company. And I thought they were doing it, but they weren't. And that's why I took it back on February, I want to say, 20th.
Then I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow you to April 6, 2016, to come into compliance. And the reason I'm doing that is so that you can contact the inspector. He can go out there and hopefully confirm everything you've told him.
Okay.
Or if he finds any deficiencies, you can get them fixed before April 6th.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, I'll amend our current order to allow the respondent until April 6th, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And am I to understand the same circumstances apply to case number 10 as well?
Yes, sir. Well, the report's the same.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, and with regard to case number 10?
The only thing that's different, Mr. McKell just said there is the $250 business tax. But
what I understand, you told me you just got it.
Yes, March 2nd.
So
yes.
Circumstances.
All right, and with regard to case 10, I will similarly amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2016 to come into compliance and be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Make sure you get in touch with the inspector.
Okay.
A notice of compliance has to work its way into this file or else it just keeps chugging along.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Case number 11 is in compliance. Case number 12, Joanne Huff or Howe. Anyone here for the respondent? Not, let's say the city.
Mr. Kelcher, you may recall this is the property that had a lot of storage in the outside yard. The respondent has begun working on that. The inspector agrees she is starting a cleanup. And the inspector is John Stinson. He is requesting that we amend to the next cutoff for her to get this completed.
So she's had 5 months to basically get junk out of the yard?
It was a lot of junk. There was a concern that she may have been excessive in the manner which she was storing.
I want to see us on an episode of Hoarders, so let's just get it done.
Yes.
So I'm amending to the next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
All right. We will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until April 6, 2016 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 13, George Smalls Jr. and Vincent Smalls. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Ms. Vakelja, the inspector is John Stinson. This is before you for imposition of a fine. Mr. Stinson reports that nothing's been done. He requests that $100 per day fine be imposed to a maximum of $15,000 plus the $250 fee for no business tax receipt. And I tend to Mr. Stinson for any additional factual questions.
Okay. Mr. Stinson, what's the problem with the respondents here?
Good morning again. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. This came to me as a tenant complaint. As I performed my site inspection, I was advised that this was being utilized as a rooming house. They were renting different rooms at different sections of the property. The actual complainant showed me all of these listed violations. She has since left. However, I have been in contact with the actual property owner, who advises me that the property is still being rented by three different individuals. And the only difference, or the only change in the property, is that that particular tenant is no longer there.
Okay, and what does the property owner say about the storage and the electrical system hazards and roof and smoke detectors?
I haven't gotten a reasonable explanation to that.
We'll fine the respondent the sum of $100 per day. Commencing March 3, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine reaches the sum of $15,000. And in addition to that, the respondent will be ordered to pay the $250 fee for failure to obtain a business tax receipt. Okay. Does that take care of that?
Yes, sir.
Case number 14, trust number 731, care of Dennis Riggins, trustee. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
Mr. Kelcher, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that he's had no contact from the owner. This was a tenant complaint. He's talked with the tenant who is, I don't believe the tenant's still there.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, this one, the tenant is still there. But he's had no contact from the owner. As you see, this is a case that started back in December. The request is $200 per day to a maximum of $15,000 plus a $250 fine for the business, $250 fee for the no business tax receipt.
Okay, has anybody communicated with the owner at all?
Attendant, Mr. Stinson.
Good morning again, John Stinson, code inspector with the city. Qualifications are on file. I've had no contact with the property owner. I've had to post notices of violation and notices of hearing on the property, City Hall, and sent first-class mail. The first-class mail has not been returned, so I can only assume that he actually received it. However, we have met all of our requirements for notification.
Okay, and am I to understand there's active raw sewage on the property?
That's correct.
Okay, I will fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day, commencing March 3, 2016, and continuing each day thereafter until the property is in compliance or the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $15,000. And in addition to that, the respondent will be ordered to pay the $250 administrative fee for failure to obtain a business tax receipt. All right, new cases. Number 15, Bobby L. Caldwell. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Kelcher, this property is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Cliff Reconzone. Mr. Reconzone reports that the property is now in compliance, but is asking for a finding of compliance, non-compliance, in effect, the will find effect.
Okay. Finding of non-compliance, and what else now?
Will find effect, the finding of non-compliance and then now in compliance. And I've also been advised that there was a tenant who had a desire to be heard in this matter.
All right. Where's the tenant?
Okay. Good morning, Your Honor.
Can you say your name, please, for the record?
My name is John Murray.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I'm John Murray, and I had the misfortune of becoming homeless. Prior to that, I have served our country for 18 years, and 2 years prior to going into inactive status, I obtained the rank of major. My status was woven between active duty and the commander of the 2nd and 174th Air Defense Artillery Battery in Athens, Ohio. During that time, I had the responsibility, after being promoted to a staff officer, to evaluate the condition of other armories as well as the headquarters battery and evaluate various personnel and the standards which they obtained in their positions. That being said, with the assistance of the VA, I am granted a rather small pension. And on the 5th of August, I moved into the property, 1311 Hillcrest Drive. Initial appearances seemed much better than sleeping on the ground, so I rented a room there. It was so, among many other violations, it was so infested with critters that upon the return from my VA doctor's appointment on the 14th of August, I was recommended to call the police department. I called the police department. They didn't want to enter the property for various reasons, probably the appearance of my skin and the rodent problem. But she did mention that apparently there are sometimes problems with code enforcement agency, and so she said she would stay there until a code enforcement officer actually arrived on the property. Sometime after her request, Cliff Rockinzone appeared on the property and looked at the various properties. It was not an entire inspection. By the way, I have documentations for everything that I'm stating, including a brief video, if you would be willing to take that is less than 2 minutes long. He evaluated the property, and this is the 14th of August. 6 months later, I had still heard nothing, and the property still wasn't in compliance, as it is not in compliance today. So when I informed the code enforcement office at the end of January that what was going to happen, when was the house going to be re-inspected, code enforcement, Mr. Garcia, sent out another code enforcement inspector, who at that time found an additional 90-plus code violations. This is an entirely a slum situation. The landlord does not live in the residence, yet claims it as his primary residence so he can take advantage of the homestead exemption and savings on his tax. They are fraudulent people. I do apologize for the dog. They are a caliber of dishonesty, the likes of which I have never before in my life, prior to becoming hopeless, have seen. I give you my word that they can look as you and I are looking into each other's eyes and tell you bold-faced lies. Police were called on the 14th. The end of January, code inspector found 90 additional ones, and I would ask the court to ask the code enforcement officer whether he believes that those additional 90 code enforcement violations came after his visit on the 14th of August, or whether he just neglected to note them on his visit of 14 August. Records indicate the home is in an area zoned single-family residential. Two additional apartments were created without retaining a variance for that property. I understand I really don't have the liberty to mention many of the specific and rather atrocious code violations. But I will tell you they've hired some boy that is not capable, some young man that has a history of drug problems, to do repairs that are not even coming close to being acceptable. The washing machine drains for the entire 6 months has drained out into the back just with any debris that came from the wash, including, you know, various medications and et cetera. It was noted, and he took some fiberglass tape and covered it over with epoxy. Now, the pipe with the drain was blocked up, and it's not the code itself. And now the entire washer, which doesn't even work correctly, only agitates on one cycle, spills all over an laundry area where the dryer has no ventilation, and the fluids all fall over onto the ground. Now, with the help of the VA, which I am utmost grateful for, I will be moving into Section 8 housing on the 14th. I am not going to tolerate the fact I have been I have had resources that many human beings wouldn't have. This is definitely an example of slum management. And I have been reminded that when I move out of there, some less capable individual will move into that house and will be equally abused. So I asked the court's permission to show them the video. I asked them to ask about the additional 90 violations. I asked what verification he has that the previous code enforcement violations were broken, have been repaired, because they haven't. The house is still infected with insects. As a matter of fact, this is in a black bag because I didn't want it to be observable. It's very gross, but it's in excess of 500 bed bugs. Now, there is a state law that requires that be addressed by the property owner.
First off, you have a host of issues, and I don't doubt that they are all genuine. The fact of the matter is, right now, all the respondent is before us for is insect infestation and outside storage. I'm told, as far as those violations are concerned, the respondent's now in compliance. So let me back up. First off, based on the presentation of the city attorney, as well as the witness, I find that the respondent was in non-compliance. Further, based on the testimony that's presented, I find that the respondent has now come into compliance, but for future reference, particularly as it pertains to will funds, I want the record to note that while he may be in compliance now, this is a potential will fund scenario. So my point is, I don't doubt that you have a host of complaints. I don't know that I'm the person that you want to be providing them to, and I definitely don't want your bed bugs. I can tell you that. So, but my point is, as far as this violation is concerned, this respondent has come into compliance on these specific matters. You're addressing a lot of matters that obviously are not before me right now, and I guess if I were you, if I were aggravated enough, I'd be taking issue with the city as far as why that's the case.
Your Honor, I have desperately tried to do that. There seems to be a camaraderie among city employees, which I am well aware of, as it exists in the military and other branches of where people congregate and become a form of brotherhood. I've tried addressing the mayor, and I get no response. I've tried addressing the city manager. I've tried addressing numerous people. What I want to restate is, while the attorney for the city indicates that those violations have come into compliance, I state before you under oath that they have not come into compliance. They most definitely are not in compliance, and I would suggest that you and your authority have someone else go out there to the property and evaluate whether, in fact, the information provided by code enforcement office is correct, because it certainly is not. I wouldn't have these bugs, nor would the other citation. Neither have been corrected, sir, Your Honor.
Have you submitted a complaint to the city with regard to the property and all these other violations?
Yes, I have. I was told to do all those through the code enforcement office. There is a website for the code enforcement office in which I have written the code enforcement office. What Mr. Garcia told me on the phone is he has answered those questions, supposedly verbally, because there is no record of any of the answers to those questions, including specifically the need for a variance on the fact it's zoned single-family residential. And he says he's answered those questions, but he hasn't. What he has done is he's contacted Chief Chitwood, the city manager, the mayor, whatever, and they will not reply. And I will tell you, I was disappointed to find out there is no higher level of authority. The city is safeguarded, and county inspectors or state inspectors have no authority to intervene over injustices that take place in Volusia County. There's nowhere that I can go. If you would suggest it, I will go there.
Yeah, go contact Central Florida Legal Services and tell them to take action against the city of Daytona Beach for failure to respond to your complaints.
Central Florida
Legal Services.
I will do that, Your Honor. Meantime, I ask that you require the code enforcement to send another code enforcement evaluator, and preferably not one, not Cliff Reckonzone, because I will tell you, I've seen him inspect. There is due question as to why he didn't find any more code enforcement violations when a subsequent inspection by a different code enforcement officer, whose name I can tell you, because he's a stand-up integrity guy. It was later inspected by Inspector Lewis, A-L-B-E-L-O. Now, there's a man that I know has extreme character. On the other hand, I state before you and before Mr. Rockinson that he is a disgrace to the public employment. I say that. I will say it to his face.
Okay, he, so direct your remarks to me. All right. I will take this matter up with the building inspector. Now, I don't order them to go out and look at properties. I will have a discussion with them. I can assure you that much.
Thank you.
Where it goes from there, more likely than not, falls within their discretion. But I will have a conversation with them regarding these matters.
Would you request that it not be Mr. Reckonzone that do the second inspection?
I will discuss everything that you brought up, that included.
Thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it.
Good luck. Case number 16, Iris Cunningham and Stephen Robert Brown. Anyone here for the respondent?
All right,
thank you. Not seeing a respondent, what's the city?
Mr. Vakelja, this property is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Danny Garcia. Reports that the property is now in compliance, but again, this is a circumstance where we would ask for the finding of compliance and non-compliance, but now in compliance for will fine.
Okay. Based on the attorney's presentation and the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. Further, based on the information provided, I find that now the respondent is now in compliance, but that it will be noted for the record the previous non-compliance for future will find purposes if need be. Is that what you're looking for?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Case number 17, Roy D. Helton. Yes, sir. Will you please state your name and be sworn?
Roy D. Helton.
You raise your right hand, please, sir. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Outside storage and junk vehicle. Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, and that stuff, I called them and told them that everything will be done today.
Right, give me 1 second.
Okay.
All right, based on the testimony of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. All right, now you're telling me you're going to take care of it in short order?
I've got a guy, he's probably there now, taking care of the vehicle, and I'm waiting for my neighbor to come over and help me lift the fence.
Is the city satisfied with the next cutoff?
Yes, sir.
All right, so if we give you until April 6th, that should be plenty
of time. That's more than enough.
Very good.
Should be done today.
All right, then I will order the respondent. Please bear with me as I throw all these nasty words out there. We'll order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6th. 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fining up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, good luck to you. Make sure you contact the inspector when it's gone so he can do his final inspection. He puts a piece of paper in the file, and that's the end of it. But make sure you contact him.
Okay.
Otherwise, it keeps chugging along.
Yeah, okay.
Good luck to you. Case number 18, Valerie Potter Albert. Anyone here for the respondent? Let's say the city.
This is before you for a finding of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Tom Klieg. He reports that the property is in non-compliance and requests next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Based on the attorney's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. In order the respondent to come into compliance by April 6, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 19 is in compliance. Case number 20, David and Suzanne Jekovich. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Mr. Kelcher, this property is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property is now in compliance, but is requesting a finding of compliance, non-compliance, and compliance for a will-find purpose.
All right. Based upon the attorney's presentation, noting the absence of the respondent, I find that the respondent was in non-compliance. And further find that the respondent has now come into compliance, and we will note the previous non-compliance for the purpose of future will find purposes if need be. Case number 21, Dana S. and Bernard K. Thayer, Veronica Hobbs, and Juanita Red.
Are you both going to be testifying?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and state your name. State your
name. Dana Thayer.
Sir?
Anthony Thayer.
Okay. Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
All right, I got an Anthony and a Daniel. Do I have a Dana or a Bernard?
Dana.
And for the record, it should be Renard, R-E-N-A-R-D.
Okay.
Okay, very good. All right, gentlemen, do we agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Well, sir, yes, sir. The thing is that the house was... burned down as a retaliation for us filing a complaint with the city about the homeless that was out at the park. And we had apparently they shut down the park, or they put in some place that the homeless couldn't be staying out there. When they did Tuscarawas Park, we had homeless people moving in droves at the end of Cypress Street Park, and they call it something else now, Midtown. Development Center. And as a result of that, we had some people that had kind of squatted in there. We put them out. And then just about the last part of December, first part of January, I get a phone call from someone that we had put out of there that the house was on fire. So we come around and they burnt the house down. And police department had were trying to figure out who it was, whatnot. They were trying to run down some things. And quite frankly, my brother is the one that is one of the property owners. He's on a fixed income. He has some mental issues, and I'm the one that kind of oversees his particular paperwork and different things that go on. We had got a compliance complaint about the grass at one time, but when I got this, this is the only documentation that he gave me. What we did is the minute they came up and he gave me this paperwork, you know, we knew already that the house, that prior to the fire anyway, we were planning on tearing the house down anyway. It was my father's home. My stepmother lived in it for so many years, and then she got sick, and she couldn't have it, and the house was in disarray. We were planning on tearing it down and rebuild anyway. So when he called, I went around there immediately and said, okay, look, let's just go ahead and get the permit and tear it down. Only thing that we're waiting on right now is that we talked with Teco Gas. We couldn't tear it down because I'm quite certain that you guys are aware there was a big fire one time and somebody was doing a demo and they didn't get the gas put out of there. So we have to wait on Teco Gas Company to remove their portion of it. We already had went down and got a permit. And here's a filing of the permit to get the property torn down. And we're just going to clear it out.
So how much time do you need to do all this?
Well, I can't do anything until after they give us the final on the permit, and they give us 60 days, and I guess they 30 days. We're going to be doing it ourselves. Money is an issue, so we're going to have to pull it down ourselves, get a box, and haul it away. So we know it's going to be a 60-day, but I would beg to have the extra 30 days as well just to make sure we get it done. But it was,
right,
they really...
The
Mr. Vakelja, the inspector for this case is John Stinson. As this is before you for compliance, non-compliance, we're aware that the permit has been pulled. I didn't know what's being held. The inspector feels this property can be brought into compliance through demolition by next cutoff. It's a small property.
When was the fire?
The fire was around about, I'm not sure either it was December or the first of the year. It was right after the first of the year or right after, it was in between Christmas and I think Christmas and right after the first of the year.
Yeah, our first notification was in January 2016.
Yeah. And it just, well, actually the fire department, well, we was going to tear it down anyway, but because it was built on sticks. My dad built that thing and then a couple of them down the street and, you know, he had built it from an old house years ago, you know, and it had been sitting there for years. So you can, all that stuff that's on the house, he had pulled it off itself from an old building that he had tore down for somebody and built that thing years ago. And, you know, we were basically, one of the hold up was my brother Renard wanted to try to restore it. There's no way restoring on that. I actually do plans. I'm actually a drafter. I have a drafting service. And I'd already done some plans to show them what they could put on the property. And, you know, we knew it was going to have to be torn down. But for a period of time, I didn't know whether it's to do anything because the fire department was doing their investigation on it, and I never heard anything from them. Even as of now, I can't even find out how to get a report on it.
All right, so when do you expect TECO to be able to come through and pull the gas line?
They told me that as of yesterday that they was going to pull the permit. TECO did. I contacted the city and got a spoke with someone on the other day, and she told me that I had also get a she gave me a list of people to call, and I called the fire FPL so that they can show that there is no service because, I mean, as you can see, that they cut the service off when the fire was there. So they basically cut the line off, so there's no electrical to it. Only thing I was concerned about, right here on this side, where he's showing you that, right down at the bottom there, there's a gas line. And we can't, and in fact, they told me that there is gas going through the property, so we don't want to touch it until they actually get that out. And he said they would have that out by at least Friday, it said. I'm not sure. So it was up to them. We already filed the permits and everything to get it done.
All right, you're suggesting 90. Well, you know what? We are destroying it. We are tearing it out.
Tearing it down.
We're not going to change our mind and start thinking
no,
about
it. No, no way. There's no way it can be.
I
no way.
Think so.
No. It's torn down, yeah.
If I can just say, Mr. Kelder, this is a. For us, this has been a police complaint, or at least that's how it arose, and it may be just because of the fire. I don't know if there's been subsequent problems with people at the property. The inspector was hoping if you did give additional time that you wouldn't give any longer than May. It's been a long time that we've been waiting.
All right. I'll order you to come into compliance by May 4, 2016. First off, have I found the compliant non-compliance?
No, sir.
All right. I don't even have a permit plan to get it done yet. Money is an issue here. And the house was, like I'm saying, was just burnt down around about the first of the year. And really, for us, like complaints about the house, when we did get a complaint that there was somebody in there, I personally went there and made sure that that was out. The house was boarded up so that nobody could get in it.
The house boarded up?
That front door, I had nailed that front door shut, and I had everything nailed off so that couldn't anybody get in there. It was sealed. The problem I had was
this property was not secured. Are you telling me this property is secured?
No, the property was well secured. It's not secured now. Because it was burnt out.
If you secure the property, I'll give you 90 days. If the property's open, I can't give you 90 days.
I can't even do anything with it until after I get the permit. I can't touch it.
Well, I mean, you can board up windows.
But you're asking us to do something. We're going to be doing it manually, just he and I, and maybe a couple other guys that we get to go along and work with us. Money is an issue. He's on a fixed income. And the thing about it is that you know, the permit will allow 60 days once we get the permit in the first place. It allows us 60 days to get the job done. We're not asking anything any beyond the 60 days.
Do you or do you not have your permit yet?
I do not have the permit yet. I can't get the permit until after I just gave her the filing. I cannot get the permit. They will not allow me to do anything to the house until after TECO takes that gas off the property. And they're saying that they're going to do that this week. And then they'll issue me the permit. And all I'm asking is a lot of course to go normally as it would if you purchase the permit. They'll only give you 30 or 90 days to do a demo either way. 60 days is the beginning of the demo. And then they will allow an extension for 30 days if necessary.
Either of you live in this area?
No, I live down the street. Well, actually, it's not on the yacht. I stay on Parkway Street. Theoretically, you can walk, go straight through Cypress Street Park and walk right down Walker Street. And my brother lives over on Georgia Street. So I got called from my home, I think, and I walked through the park to find out the place was on fire. I didn't even know it was on fire. And we're talking about something that just happened recently. And really, there was no insurance on the property.
Stop talking. All right, I'll order the respondent to be in compliance by June 8, 2016, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. You got 90 days.
Thank you.
All right, and you're getting the 90 days because you're telling me, number one, you don't even have a permit in hand. Number two, you're relying on TECO to actually get something done before you're going to get a permit. So consequently, I can't. At any good.
That's a copy for the record if you need it.
So in any event, you'll have till June 8, 2016 to have it in compliance. Will be returned for consideration fine of up to $1,000 per day. All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir.
And I hope you don't think I was being rude.
No, sir.
I've pretty much heard enough.
No, yeah, well, I was sitting there listening to myself, so.
Good luck.
I hope I didn't leave it in the kitchen at the bed bus with me either.
Okay, miscellaneous business. We have any miscellaneous business to be brought before a special magistrate?
Just one point on that. I think the staff wanted
Mr. Murray. I would talk about him, so I'll be talking about Mr. Murray if you want to discuss him.
Right, exactly. Well, that's what I was going to discuss. I just, for the sake of staff, staff wanted to respond and understand that probably the best remedy was for us to just leave it for the moment. But there is an active case on the other matters, and
okay. I assume there was.
Yeah, and. I guess I don't know if there's anything else we could say on it other than Mr. Garcia is involved and he knows and understands the complaint.
Very good. That's all I need to know. I assumed it was being addressed. Anything else to be brought before the special magistrate?
No.
Well, adjourned.